Next item on the agenda is item 6, Virginia Electric and Power Company number 18-0055, request authorization to temporarily impact 3,460 square feet of jurisdictional wetlands as a result of the placement of construction access mats for the replacement of existing electric towers and to replace an existing power line across that crosses Hodges Creek at the Dozier Tap substation located along Bainbridge Boulevard in the city of Chesapeake. The project requires subaqueous and wetlands permit. Mr. Woodward.
Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission, you just stole my thunder because I was going to read that. But, like the last
Well, we can let you do that next time for sure.
Okay. Similar to the last project, these next two projects are cases where the board, the commission is acting as the wetlands board. Both of these are in the city of Chesapeake. The city of Chesapeake no longer has a wetlands board, so the commission acts in that regard. Each project also requires a subaqueous permit for these projects. As you just described, this is a VEPCO project to replace the power line and the power towers that support that line. I'm going to keep it brief. Essentially, this is the southern branch running north to south here, high-rise 64 bridge, and this is the Dominion Energy Center location. In this location, and the power lines come across. The aerial photograph shows, again, Interstate 64, Bainbridge Boulevard. You can see the lines here. It's one circuit of two lines that's going to be replaced, and there are tidal wetlands in this area that are associated with Hodges Creek. Without much going into too much more detail, the majority of the impacts, all of the impacts to the tidal wetlands are temporary associated with construction access where they put matting down to get the equipment across the tidal wetlands. All that matting and materials will come out at the completion of installation of the new towers and the lines that are there supporting. The applicant has minimized those wetland impacts. They are proposing a bridge over the creek. This meander represents Hodges Creek as it goes under the lines, or the lines as they go over Hodges Creek. At this location, the creek is only about 3 feet wide at mean low water, so those are the submerged lands under the board's jurisdiction, commission's jurisdiction, as well as the associated adjacent tidal wetlands. We held a public hearing here at our office in February. There was no public comment taken, but it was apparent that additional information was necessary to carry this project forward, the review forward. So we asked the applicant, and they waived their right to their timely hearing. So normally that hearing would have been held last month. Therefore, we've moved into April because of that additional information. No state agencies have commented on the proposal, nor have the adjacent property owners. This gives you an idea. These are the project drawings. In blue here is actual Hodges Creek and the adjacent tidal wetlands. Again, you can see the power lines overlaid. This is one of the guy wires. This is an extremely high tide. This guy wire is actually, the anchor for the guy wire is actually in the tidal wetlands, not in the creek. The creek is there in the background. It's kind of hard to tell because the tide is up so much. But again, the access from Dominion Boulevard will come through these tidal wetlands on mats, which will be removed, and the areas will be restored. Accordingly, our main concern in this is the restoration of those tidal wetlands. The impact of the lines over top of the creek are of no impact at all. It is an encroachment, but there is no physical impact. So these are the recommended permit conditions. I will go ahead and read them into the record. All areas of state-owned bottom in Hodges Creek and the adjacent lands disturbed by the activity shall be restored to their original contours and natural conditions within 30 days from the date of completion of the authorized work. All excess material shall be removed to an upland site and contained in such a manner as to prevent reentry into state waters. Number two, erosion sediment control measures shall be in conformance with the 1992 third edition, which is the current edition of the Virginia Erosion and Sediment Control Handbook and shall be employed throughout construction of the project. And lastly, VMRC staff will be notified within 30 days of project completion in order to schedule a post-construction site visit to determine if further restoration is required, i.e. wetland planting, by any wetlands that were damaged during the access with the mats. So with those permit conditions, we believe that the merits of the project, we recommend approval of the project with those conditions. The crossing of the lines over Hodges Creek will be 30 feet above mean low water and will be in the same general footprint. We feel there is no compensation necessary for the temporary wetland impacts, provided all these permit conditions are met. But there is a recommended royalty of $18 for the encroachment of the two lines over 3 feet. If you do the math, 2 by 3 by $3 a linear foot, it's $18 of royalty for the new lines associated with this project. The towers themselves are constructed in the tidal wetlands and outside of the tidal wetlands, not on state-owned bottom. I don't have anything further. Brevity is I'm trying to accomplish. I do believe...
And you have.
Thank you. Well, you helped. I do believe the agent for the project, the consultant, is here and may be able to add to that. I have not met them. I should have started off by saying I'm handling Chesapeake because Rachel is out on maternity leave. Mother and baby are fine. We're really hoping they stay fine, and we're really hoping she comes back.
No, you are real fast. Yeah, we get it.
At any rate, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And, again, I don't know if the agent is here or not. Okay.
Any questions of Mr. Woodward by members of the commission? Ms. Everett?
Yes, thank you. The 2-6 exhibit refers to some permanent wetland impacts as well.
The permanent wetland impact in this case is a new guy wire anchor.
Okay.
Similar to the one on the screen here.
So that's just fixed.
Yeah, this will come out because this is, from what I understand, and again, I apologize if I get any of this wrong. I took this project up kind of in midstream from Rachel, so to speak. But it's my understanding that the new towers will require anchor guy wires, and those anchors going into the marsh are the permanent impacts.
Okay.
Ms. Everett, follow up?
Okay, great. And then on that same exhibit, there's four, I guess, temporary wetland impact square footage estimates, and it's hard to know if these are commas or, but are they seem to be more than the 3,460 square feet?
Well, there's tidal wetlands, and there's non-tidal wetlands adjacent to the tidal wetlands. And again, this commission's jurisdiction in this case is the creek and mean low to mean high on the adjacent wetlands plus 1.5 times because they're vegetated. And then beyond those vegetated tidal wetlands are non-tidal vegetated wetlands.
Jurisdiction.
Are not our jurisdiction.
EQ, okay.
That'll be the Corps of Engineers and the EQ.
Okay. And
yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Ms. Everett.
It looks like that's maybe Phragmites in that picture.
I believe there's a Phragmites control plan implemented here. And, again, I would defer to the agent in this case. If it is Phragmites, we would not require restoration of the Phragmites. We would require, we won't require eradication, but there would be measures implemented, and that's part of the post-construction site visit that staff will attend to see if there is any need to,
Vita checking on you.
Yeah, I think...
Vita checking on you.
I think my question was, in sites that are disturbed, Phragmites is typically looking for an opportunity to expand. And since there will be some disturbance, albeit temporary, do we feel like that post-construction restoration will be able to ensure that there won't, that disturbance won't lead to expanded Phragmites?
We will do our best to keep frag out of there, as does VEPCO within their right-of-way. The impacts here are mats pressing down the marsh. There's no excavation of the marsh that generally is the problem when you excavate and fill a marsh. It's that disturbed soil substrate. It's not the mashing down of the existing tidal vegetation that would be as much of a concern for frag.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Jay. Is the applicant present or represented? Yes, ma'am. Could you come forward, please? If you'd like to be heard. Maybe so. Yes, ma'am. If you'll testify, will you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear the testimony that you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Could you state your name for the record and who you represent, please?
Yeah, it's Bree Eberline, and I'm with RES, Resource Environmental Solutions,
okay,
representing Dominion in this matter. I don't have much to add. I did just want to clarify that this was, you know, we had waived our previous hearing as a result of revising the design to avoid crossing the stream. So we've limited the impacts here to essentially, like we said, 3,460 square feet of estuarine wetlands.
A hard one.
Yeah, it is a hard one. But to the point, we're hoping that minimization of impacts is, I don't know where I'm going with this, I'm sorry.
It's okay, I understand.
But if you did have further questions about the difference between the permanent impacts and the temporary impacts, I'd be happy to clarify now.
Any questions, members of the commission? Thank you, ma'am. I would like to hear from VIMS just as a matter of educational opportunity. So Mr. Varnell has been previously sworn.
Well, I'll have a
question for you. When they lay those mats down under the the conditions that we're dealing with today, once those mats are removed, about how long does it take? And I know it varies for that vegetation to come back to its normal.
That'll vary seasonally when they do.
Correct.
I'm not sure when they're going to do it, but Mr. Woodward's correct. It's a mat. It will not remove the root mass or the seed or anything else. What was there should come back eventually after that occurs. There may have to be some filling of sand. I don't know how they're going to do that. We didn't formally review this when it didn't
come
to the scale of that. And your staff, of course, as you well know, has the experience and expertise to deal with this scale. But
the bottom line is, once those mats are removed, that vegetation comes back like it was.
It's a standard procedure that we've seen many times, and we have no concerns about that.
Yep. Any questions on Mr. Varnell by members of the commission? Thank you, Lyle. Appreciate it. This is a public hearing. Anyone else in support of this project? Anyone here in opposition to the project? There being none, the matter is before the commission for action. Mr. Tankard?
Move to approve staff recommendations.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard to approve staff recommendations. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Neal. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, ma'am.